As I mentioned at the beginning of the service last Sunday, at this time, I was in Canandaigua, New York, at the home of one of my cousins, sitting poolside with my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, my brother, and a bunch of other relatives. Here are a few of us. We were drinking coffee, eating fruit and pastries, and sharing stories, past and present, and laughing. We did a fair amount of laughing. It was a lovely time with my family and a restorative time away. Needless to say, I wasn't here last week. But having worked on last Sunday's bulletin, including the inserts, I know that Reverend West, who was here with you, spoke at least a little bit about the ancient practice of Lectio Divina. In case you also weren't here last week, or even if you were here, but in the course of living your life between then and now, you neglected to commit to memory the description of Lectio Divina that was provided, let me share again part of how it was described. The phrase Lectio Divina, difficult to translate, is Latin for sacred reading. The noun lectio could be rendered as a reading which is sacred. It derives from the verb lego, which does not mean to stick together, but means to choose or pick. Lectio Divina, therefore, may be said to be a kind of divine picking or choosing of a given sentence, phrase, or word through which God speaks. The description went on to say, ordinarily this practice is confined to the slow reading of sacred scripture. It's undertaken not with the intention of gaining information, but of using the text as an aid, first, to contact the living God, and secondly, to sustain that contact. So Lectio Divina is a way of slowly, meditatively, and open-heartedly reading the scriptures, not to gain information, not so that you can say you did it, not with the purpose of getting through as many verses or chapters or books as you can, as quickly as you can. In other words, not the way that most of us, I suspect, do most of the reading that we do. Rather, Lectio Divina is a kind of reading that's meant to open us and then connect us to the presence of God in our holy texts. It's a kind of reading that invites us to invite God to meet us in the words of our holy scriptures. It's a kind of reading by which we seek to encounter, not just to learn about or read about or think about, but to encounter the holy. Maybe to some of you, that sounds a little woo-woo. I don't know, but it's not. It's really not. It's an ancient practice that can help bring the scriptures to life, that can help us engage with these ancient texts as we live our lives now. It's a powerful practice that can help us connect with the divine. And so we're going to try it together today with our gospel passage. In a minute, I'm going to read the passage again. And as I do that, I invite you to simply notice what catches your attention, a word or a phrase or an image or an emotion. Notice any questions that come up within you. And there's no right or wrong to this practice. There's no good answer, bad answer. It's just an opportunity to notice what God might be saying to you through this text. And so I invite you to be attentive to what stirs in your spirit as you listen. So here we go. I invite you to close your eyes. Get as comfy as you can. Perhaps invite the Holy Spirit to be with you, perhaps even to speak to you. Take a deep breath and listen for God's voice. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so now, as you may have supposed, I'm going to ask if anyone is willing to share a word or a phrase that grabbed you, or a question that came up, or a particular emotion that you noticed. And if nothing especially jumped out at you, that's okay. Or if you found yourself thinking about your to-do list, or paying attention, in the words of Winnie the Pooh, to that rumbly in your tumbly, or if you started sinking into sleep as Peter started sinking into the ocean, the sea, that is okay. Because this isn't a magic trick. It's a practice, a spiritual practice, and it gets easier the more you do it. And if you haven't done it much, it's okay if you don't get much out of it. But is there anything that anyone is willing to share?
First excited, I can imagine knowing Peter, I'm like, "Oh, look what I can do." And then realizing what he was doing and sinking, and Jesus saying a little faith because he didn't know any better. He associated that the wind and the water and his past experience was not that of being able to stay on top, but that it was danger and battered meant. So our faith becomes battered.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you all. And guess what? We're going to do it again. We're going to practice this practice again right now. And this time, as you listen, you will not only hear me reading, but hopefully, if all goes well, you will also have a little bit of, I'm going to call it auditory assistance, not a visual aid, but auditory aids, which might make it a little bit easier to get into the text. And imagine that you are there with Jesus and Peter and the disciples. So here we go again. Close your eyes. Get comfy. Feel your feet on the floor. Perhaps invite the Holy Spirit to be with you. Take a deep breath and be on the lookout for God. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, The wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so now, again, I invite anyone who's willing to share a word, a sound, an emotion that struck you, or a question, or an image. So the disciples have been with Jesus for a long time by now, and they don't recognize him, and that seems strange. Or they only recognize him when he does something spectacular. She finds it comforting that Jesus dealt with the crowds, that Jesus sent the disciples away so that they wouldn't have to deal with that, with them, and then he dealt with the crowds and sent them away. This was after he had fed the crowds, thousands of people, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What else? Just a word, an image. Well, thank you to those of you who shared. And thank you to all of you, because whether or not you shared, you participated. Regardless of whether you felt anything stirring within your spirit, or whether you felt like maybe the wrong thing was stirring in your spirit, you did it. You tried it. Regardless of how well you felt you did, which is not what this is about. Or regardless how you felt while you were doing it, maybe it felt silly to you to be sitting here with your eyes closed trying to imagine. Maybe you felt embarrassed. Maybe you felt bored. Maybe you felt sleepy. Whatever you felt, you were willing to do it. Nobody here got up and left. So I am assuming that you participated and you were willing to give it a try. And so thank you. And now, since I am the preacher after all, I'm going to share just one thing with my own from my own experience with this passage. As I spent time with this text this week, one of the things that struck me was a sense of Jesus's deep and unshakable love for his disciples. I sensed that in his response to them when they saw him walking on the water toward them. They were terrified. They thought he was a ghost, which makes a little more sense if you know. One of the things I read in a commentary this week was that the sea, the open sea, was thought to be a place of evil, of torment. And so to see this figure walking toward them, it was reasonable that they might think he was a ghost. But, as Valerie pointed out, they had just been with him the day before, and for days and days and weeks and months and maybe even years before that, and now suddenly they don't recognize him. And they're crying out in fear. And what does Jesus say to them? Does he say, "What is wrong with you? Why don't you see me? Why don't?" No, he says, "Take heart. Have courage. It's me." Some of the translations say that he says, "I am," which is associating him with God. "But it's me. I am. Don't be afraid." I hear those words spoken with great compassion and tenderness, not criticism, not "what is wrong with you?" Like a parent might say to a frightened child. And I can just imagine this, taking a child by the shoulder and saying, hey, it's me. It's okay. You're okay. Don't be afraid. I'm here. You're going to be okay. I've got you." Deep love, unaffected by their lack of recognition, unshakable love, unaffected by their fear. And then there's Peter. Peter, whose initial response is always, "I can do it. Let me be the one. Let me show you." So Peter starts walking on the water toward Jesus, and he panics, right? As Joyce lifted up, he notices the wind, and he's like probably thinking, "What am I doing?" And he starts to sink. And Matthew tells us That immediately, there's Bob's word, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. And while the words that Matthew uses to describe Jesus' response are different than these, my sense is that the feeling is the same. Hey, 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 I'm here. It's okay. You're okay. Don't be afraid. I've got you. Deep love. Unaffected by Peter's doubt. Unshakable love. Unaffected by his fear. The message that I heard from God in this passage as I sat with it this past week is this. I love you, no matter what. I am not leaving you, ever. And you can trust me, always. No matter how powerful the storm, no matter how overwhelming your fear, no matter how crushing your doubt, I love you and I am with you and you're gonna be okay. I've got you. And I don't think that's just a message for me. I think it's a message for each of you. I think it's a message for White Rock Presbyterian Church. I think it's a message for the body of Christ. I think it's a message for the world. I think God tells us time and time and time and time again, I've got you. Don't be afraid. May it be so. Amen.